Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And I want to share this conversation that we had with Dan Biddle and Ralph Strean concerning a movie that we really want people to go see. In fact, it's coming out March 20th and 21st in theaters. And you can actually check it out. Just go to the link that we'll have in the description so you guys can see if there's one in your area. And we are excited because this new film, The Ark in the Darkness, is something that I believe all believers should go and see. And this conversation, hopefully, will bring you to believing the same thing. God bless you guys. Check this out.
The Good Fight Radio Show.
Well, praise God. I am so excited to have Dan Biddle and Ralph Strean on with me to talk about their brand new movie, The Ark and the Darkness, which is coming out on March 20th and 21st in theaters, two special nights, some events that are going to be hopefully local to you. You guys can check them out. We'll have a link in the description. But I want to welcome Ralph and Dan to the Good Fight Radio Show.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ralph, it's not your first time, praise God, on the show, but this time we are talking about a film that we did talk about a little bit the last time, but now I'm excited. That was over 2 years ago, I believe, that you were working on this, and I want the audience to know, and we're going to be playing the trailer in this as well, but I want the audience to know a little bit of background of the movie that we're talking about.
Well, you know, I guess I'd start with the interesting way it came about. You know, Dan gave me a call one day. We had already been friends, and I had done a couple little things for him here and there. And he wanted to do a 5-minute a piece to put on YouTube. And as we're talking, you know, it's kind of progressing. And then Dan, you know, he just comes out and says, "But you know what would really be cool is if we made this into a big movie," you know. And I, you know, after, you know, my previous film and all the hard work that it takes to go into that, I was, you know, when I was other things I was working on, and I was just like, oh, I don't know. Then outside, you know, I was on the cell phone talking to him, and outside this big rainbow was behind me. And my wife was sitting on the porch, and she was pointing because she loves rainbows. And she's pointing behind me, and I look over and I see this rainbow as Dan's asking me if I'll make this movie about, you know, Noah's Ark with him. And I was like, all right, you know, I definitely has to happen now. But I had actually had, I told Dan, I had an idea for a long time about an Ark movie, a flood movie I wanted to make, and something that was a bit more comprehensive than just a flood. You know, I wanted to make a movie that sort of took you from creation to the end, you know, and that's kind of my, I don't know, the blessing and curse of being me is my ambition, right? Like maybe I'm a little bit too ambitious for my own good, but God seems to always make it work out. So that was sort of the beginning of it. And man, 2.5 years ago, I mean, it blows my mind that it's actually been that fast. I know to some of the viewers, they might think that that's a long time, but my previous film took me 7 years to make. So we were able to utilize so much of the technology and the assets over time that I had been building up and, you know, roll right into this thing. And praise God, it's finished. It's actually coming out in theaters March 20th and 21st. So that's only about a week and a half away from the time of this recording. And it's so much of everything that I hoped it would be. I love it, but of course I'm biased.
Hey, man, praise God. And, you know, Dan, the first time, and Dan with Genesis Apologetics, and the first time I had seen anything from Genesis Apologetics was an awesome video, actually, that was covering the Epic of Gilgamesh and how, hey, wait, Noah's Ark is just, you know, this actually makes sense from the biblical narratives. It would make no sense for the Bible to take from this legend that it has a box, you know, flipping upside down and everywhere. And I was like, wow, this is really good. I was just really just stoked about that presentation. And so how did you just say, you know what? And like he said, oh, you know, he said, let's make this into a full film. What made you want to get into the business of this with Ralph?
You know, it's so neat that I think both Ralph and I will stand here with a completely clean slate and say it wasn't our idea. I would say I could speak for Ralph and myself to say we both felt very commissioned to do this. I was called to do it, to be involved in it in kind of a general way and a specific way. The general way was, it was Noah's flood and dinosaurs that converted me. It woke me up to become a creationist about 12 years ago. And so I've always really longed for the evidence surrounding Noah's flood and be very obsessive about that evidence. But then specifically, I guess it was going on 3 years now, I went through a really hard spot in my life, probably the hardest spot I've ever been through. My brother had just passed away from liver disease. I was going through a long, terrible bout with COVID. My kids had just left, so I became an empty nester, and my mom's cancer returned, and she started developing tumors behind her eyes. So I was really down for the count. It was a 2-month dark, hard period of my life, and it was during that time in the pit that certain events started happening and certain people came into my life and started talking with me about some things. And I've always wondered when people say, I was called to be a pastor. Well, I was always wonder, well, what does that look like when you get called to do something? But God just started lining up sequence after sequence and event after event and person after person and insight after insight that it became expressly clear to me that I was supposed to just jump on this and grab Ralph and do this film. So like Ralph said, called him up and said, hey, I'm just feeling really burdened to do this. It just started well, let's do 5 minutes of the most amazing CGI ever done on Noah's Flood. But then it turned into a 15-minute thing, and we just kept talking over time with our team and Ralph and Answers of Genesis and others. And we're like, you know what? This really needs to be a full-length film. But I would just chalk it up to the providence of God. We both felt very burdened, very deeply burdened, as well as very commissioned to do this work. If you could juxtapose it from the furthest away, the furthest thing away would be, I woke up one day as a smart businessman and said, I think I'll use my skills to do a movie on Noah's Flood and make a ton of money. That was the furthest thing from what really happened. This was an idea that came to us. It was a commissioning. It was a burden that we both had. It wasn't some smart business maneuver that Ralph came up with or I came up with. It was something that was very organically birthed. And I would say the Lord just gave us a good commissioning to do the movie.
I think what's important, and it's something that took me also by surprise when I first saw what it was about, because I thought, okay, yeah, it'd be great to learn about Noah. I just read another article about a leading scholar says that the flood was local and so forth. And I'm like, oh, it'd be one thing if it's a documentary just proving that and showing and showcasing that, no, this was global, clearly a global flood. But this seems to not just keep us there. It seems like with this film, you're trying to get us back to not only Jesus and the cross and him dying for our sins, but also for his ultimate return.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing the parallels that you have. It reminds me when I first had heard of young Earth creation and I started reading Genesis, and all of a sudden, all of these things started jumping off the page. Like, for example, I put it together really without even anybody teaching me this, just a straightforward reading of the Bible. That right there in Genesis on the first page, you've got God telling you that he creates man and woman, right? So you have the whole gender issue right there, right? You have him saying that things bring forth only after their kinds. So you have evolution defeated there, right? You don't have one kind turning into another. And there's just so many amazing things that started leaping off the page where you could tell that God had set it up right there from the beginning, that he was already going to refute things way into the future, thousands of years later when these things became an issue, like evolution. And then you've got, of course, the cross, like what you were pointing out, where you've got this parallel judgment. I mean, you know, people say all the time, why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow for evil people to be there, you know, and doing evil things? And you've got all these Christians coming up with all these different answers. And I'm like, guys, it's way simpler than that. He doesn't. The flood. Just go look at the flood. The flood proves that God doesn't allow evil. He doesn't allow evil for very long. But obviously, when you have free will, you obviously have to give the free will creatures the ability to live and exist. And they're going to either do good and be obedient and loving to the Lord, or they're going to be evil and disobedient to God. So God doesn't allow evil. God flooded an entire evil world. And he's going to come back and he's going to judge it again. And so it was so important for Dan and I to really set up that, guys, it's not just about knowing all these neat facts about the flood and the pre-flood world and the post-flood and all that. It's that it's a reminder. There's no greater evidence on earth to remind you of the flood and that God judges evil than the flood evidence. It's on every continent. I mean, you can look everywhere and you'll see these massive canyons, you know, that were eroded away, and you're going to see, you know, well, the movie covers a lot of it, but something like polystrate trees, where you have trees that are going up through multiple, you know, rock layers that are supposed to be millions of years old. And you've got evidence that's just showing you a judgment. It's also showing you that you've been lied to, you know, through the education system. We all go through school. And from, you know, elementary to middle school to high school, they're all teaching the same anti-biblical narrative, sadly. And so we wanted something very comprehensive. We wanted to be able to cover all of it. And I think that's not really a credit to us. That's how the Bible is. That's how the Bible's laid out. There's a reason that God is teaching you all these things. And he's trying to make sure that you obviously come to Jesus Christ, right? His son who died for you, God in the flesh. He died for you to save you from your sins. But he's also trying to give you this greater narrative, this greater picture. And so that's what the film is trying to do. We're just trying to echo what the Bible does and just do it in a way that glorifies God, that uses cutting edge visual effects, and that is fascinating to watch. And I think we accomplished that, if I do say so myself.
I agree. I mean, Jesus himself set it up for us in Matthew 24, where he says, look, just as it was in the days of Noah, people are going to be eating and drinking and getting married and planning to get married. And then suddenly destruction will come, or suddenly the Son of Man is going to be upon us. So you've got the judgment and the second coming. Those two themes are like standing against right at our doorstep. We don't know how close or how far away we are, but it's certainly not in the past. It's something that's coming up in the future. So Jesus parallels that metaphor, is just as it was in the days of Noah. So what does that mean? People are going to be oblivious. They're going to be clueless. They're going to be distracted. They're going to be like, oh, nothing's going to come. And, you know, I'll just go happy and live my life. And 2 Peter 3 echoes the same thing, where Peter says, look, above everything else, he just shouts it from the top, says, above everything else, just remember this. And in the last days, these scoffers are going to come, and they're going to deny three things: the second coming, God, that God created out of nothing, and that a worldwide deluge happened. And that's exactly what's happening mm-hmm. today in our society worldwide. You can't graduate from college without taking core fundamental classes where those three things are going to be beaten out of you. You know, so mm-hmm. Jesus himself sets up that theme, and he parallels the flood with what's going to be coming next in the timeline.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing that up too, because there are so many people that are getting ready to head out, you know, and it's a sad thing to me. You know, you raise your kids for 18 years and then you say, okay, we're going to ship you out and get you in a lot of debt, or mm-hmm. us in a lot of debt, so that you can go off to school. And what you're going to learn is that everything we taught you for those 18 years was wrong. And here you are. Oh, and by the way, at the same time, there's going to be really good-looking boys and good-looking girls of your age. And also there's going to be narcotics and alcohol and mm-hmm. everything else tempting right around you. Oh, and by the way, you know, now you're going to be able to say that even if you practice all those wicked things you were told not to do, it really isn't a problem because none of this stuff's real anyways. And it does seem, and maybe, I know that's what I'm passionate about talking against. And so, I want to hear maybe from you guys as well. Is this seems like the type of film that you can put into the minds of someone else, to say, for a young person to watch and to see, and maybe it's why you guys are so passionate for it, to be able to share this with people so that they're more equipped with the reality that these things, like you said, 2 Peter chapter 3, it's no joke. These are the things that they will deny. And as you mentioned, the deluge, the fact that it wasn't a localized flood, but a global flood happened. Speak to that a little bit of why you think this film might be something be great to show to young people before they head out.
I can honestly say I've only really seen one time in my speaking history on Genesis where I've seen a young lady visibly moved and shifted and really like left unstable after a talk that I gave. And she came up, she was a senior in high school, but she was homeschooled her whole life, very conservative looking gal. And she was really rocked. The talk that I gave had really moved her. And she was just coming up afterwards, like to kind of talk this through and understand this. And she says, at the end of the conversation, she says, "Dr. Biddle, I would just like to thank you because the first time in my whole upbringing, in my 18 years, now do I understand why the other side is wrong. For the first time, here's a young lady who for her whole life has been drinking in 6 days of creation and 6,000 years old earth and dinosaurs walk with man and the authority of scripture and everything. But she had never been taught why evolution theory doesn't hold up. And what Ralph does so well in this movie is in an hour and 52 minutes, I guarantee this movie will shift everybody who watches it. You can take the most hardened, licensed geologist who's an agnostic, and this movie will shift them. You can take a person who believes in the authority of scripture, homeschooled their whole life, this movie will shift them too. And that's because what we put in this movie, the DNA that's in it, is evidence after evidence after evidence. We stack up showing, look, extra biblical evidence. We're both presuppositional. Ralph and I believe the Bible to be true. But you can stack up all this evidence that completely substantiates the flood was a worldwide phenomenon that happened just recently, just thousands of years ago. And we also stack up all the evidence against evolution that shows it really doesn't hold up. I mean, if you just take one thing like dinosaur soft tissue, you go back 50 years, what would 100% of paleontologists tell you 50 years ago? Oh, dinosaur bones are hardened, petrified, permineralized rocks, all of them. They're just rock impressions of bones. But did you know that 50 years later, now, 0 of 100 paleontologists will make that statement? They can't make that statement because they're staring against a docket of evidence of 122 peer-reviewed journal articles that substantiate 16 different types of bioorganic tissues that are found in dinosaur bones. So where in history have we ever had a situation where an entire field had 100% consensus on one thing, then 50 years later that the shift to completely a belief system that's absolutely opposite, completely opposite of that perspective. So we cover that in that movie, but it's just stack after stack after stack. The evidence promotes creation and deconstructs evolution. So it's an hour and 52 minutes of evidence after evidence after evidence. But Ralph has done such a superb job because it's stacked in a way that's watchable. Right when you get to the edge of your seat and like, oh my gosh, I can't stand this talking head anymore. I'm about to tune out. The next thing you see is a flying pterodactyl over the pre-flood landscape. So there's lots of ebbs and flows in this movie. But before you know it, you will have drinking in 2 hours of incredible evidence download while the whole time just watching and enjoying a movie. So I think that's some of the important thrust that we put in the film.
Yeah, it's funny too. I'm going to piggyback a little bit off of what you said, Dan, because I remembered when Bill Nye had rather famously said something to the effect of, Christianity doesn't allow real science. You can't do science through having a Christian worldview. And it's funny when I think about what you were pointing out about how there is a complete paradigm shift and all these scientists who were confronted with the reality that there is soft tissue in these bones. And when I was doing a lot of research for the film, I came across this article, and it was one of them. I can't remember the name, but I remember that he was one of the top tier, most respected of the group. And he said he really rather honestly had admitted that if nobody had ever bothered doing these simple experiments that Mary Schweitzer did to detect the soft tissue, because they had already fully subscribed to the paradigm that these bones were petrified and couldn't possibly have any biomaterial in them. So nobody even bothered even checking. I mean, nobody bothered doing experiments that are relatively, you know, simple to do for in their fields. Like, they already have the equipment and the technology to do it. And I just think, well, that's exactly the opposite of what Bill Nye was saying, right? It's actually the evolutionary worldview that had prevented them for 100 years even of even contemplating, well, you know, given wherever they were technologically speaking, but even contemplating that there could be soft tissue in those bones. And it was there the whole time.
So true. Great point.
That's awesome. I love it. I love that people are going to be able to see this and really get a lot of entertaining information. I think that's so important. And, you know, Dan, you brought that out as well. And I wanted to ask you guys, you know, we make documentaries as well. So, you know, we have different ways to go about it. So right now, Joe's making a documentary. I'm making a documentary separately here at the ministry. But I want to see how you guys did this one. Not that it's a documentary in the same way, because it's very different than how we do things. We don't have any CGI, but but I'm wondering, how was it working together? You know, what were some of the things working together on this film?
Well, I'll say that it's wonderful working with Dan. He, you know, when I hear his story every time, I'm just like, man, I can't believe it's just 12 years ago. You know, he's so far ahead of the curve. You know, Dan has really committed himself on the research aspect, and God has given me all these other talents. And I think maybe perhaps the ability to condense, to boil down stuff so that I can give people a 10,000 foot view. And so it was an absolute pleasure working with Dan. I think part of the reason why we were able to make this film much faster this time without sacrificing any quality or any of the experience is because Dan basically had a treasure trove of research. I mean, every time I would be like, hey, Dan, you know, I'm researching this thing right here. What do you think? Oh, I've got a whole video on that. Here's the link right here. And it's just like, oh my goodness, there was almost no question that Dan hadn't already spent days himself already researching, making videos out of it. So yeah, it was, Dan is in his ministry, Genesis Apologetics are fantastic, on these topics. So it was a great combination.
It was a great infusion. I mean, Ralph's superpower is being able to tune the dial and tune into the signal of the millennial mind and the young person's mind and tune, grab that frequency and hold their attention, which is a skill set that maybe 5 or 10% of leading apologists can do that, especially if they're over 60 or something. I mean, it's a whole different language to be able to communicate with the younger generations these types of truths. And you have to be fast. You got to change your camera angle. You got to be compelling. You need mystery and intrigue. So what we've done is we've maintained a very orthodox, clean, sound, grounded biblical view. We're both very conservative theologically with respect to our faith, but we've packaged it and Ralph has wrapped it in such a way that it's an attention grabbing, gripping film. So the high level perspective that I tell people is what Ralph's done with the film is we could divide it in thirds. About a third of it is leading experts that are giving narrative. They're being interviewed, but even that is done with some mystery and some intrigue. So the interviews are very watchable. The next third is the gripping CGI. And insider secret here, I tell people 35 minutes into the movie, don't get up out of your seat. Don't go grab popcorn. Don't go to the restroom because you're about to watch about a 5-minute flood commencement scene that's never before ever been in the theaters. And it is goosebump rattling. It's incredible. It will really shift you. And so that's our third of the movie, is this great visual content that took months and lots of money to develop. And of course, the other third of the movie is what we call the 3D lab room, where the viewers brought into a very visually stimulating environment where they're looking at all these icons and graphics and images while the narrator is explaining a tough, thick concept. The viewers looking at something animated in a way that really complements what the narrator is going over. So, and these three different elements put together in a way that's staged and infused, keeps and grips your attention. But at the end of the movie, you're going to walk away knowing two things. The flood happened, and am I ready for what's coming next? That was really our thrust of the movie, is that it would be one, it would be a swing and a miss for us just to say, oh, look at that, Noah's flood happened. The skeptic gets to walk away, you know, free of any obligation. But if people can understand, look, there was a judgment that came before, and there's another judgment coming, either in your life when you pass away, or collectively amongst all of us, are you ready for that next judgment? And I think what we've done with the movie is provided enough compelling evidence to talk people into the beginning stages of the beginning parts of Scripture, because if the beginning part's true, the ending part's true also. And then in that way, we hope to really grip people and keep their attention through the film, and leading to a really good eternal outcome.
And you know, Chad, you had even said too that you had watched Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. And I agree that the tragedy of the film is that, you know, you get to the end and you can tell that they almost didn't know how to end it. And that's because the ending should have been the gospel. You know, you're convincing people that there is a God and that evolution's bogus, but then you're not telling them who God is and what he requires of them. And I would also add too that what was important to us is the truth, the truth, the truth. What does the word say? Because I feel it's not just my conviction. I think it should be all of our convictions, since we're consuming entertainment all the time, is, you know, are we giving our attention and our money to these organizations? I almost don't even want to call them ministries, that are making Christian content, but it's not really biblical. I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, there's some really popular stuff out right now. And it's just sad to me. I think that you have to be very careful. I mean, you can't just go putting words into the mouth of Jesus. You can't make him say things that he didn't say. What we're trying to do is we're trying to do this infusion of using the latest and greatest technology, but we're also trying to make sure that we're always biblically accurate. You know, at the end of the day, God's going to judge us for what we do. I mean, the scripture says, be there not many masters, they'll receive the greater condemnation. And that scares me, and it should scare others. You know, I really have to step back sometimes and think, okay, Lord, help me please to put the message out that you want me to. You have to lead me through this. I'm just a fool. I need for you to guide me through this process and make sure, you know, to check me in the spirit if there's something that I'm veering off course on. And and he does. I think that when you really want that, he honors that. And so that was a big thing. We wanted it to be visually spectacular, experientially great, but also completely true, completely grounded in Scripture.
I love that. And I think it's so important too for people to hear the good news, as you say. You know, don't just stop at, you know, well, there's a God, you know. Then, okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, actually, all right, see ya.
Get the gospel.
Yeah. No, don't do that.
Good luck. You've been disobedient to him your whole life, but have fun, you know.
There's at least 1,000 religions.
Yeah. So praise God. I want to thank you guys. And you know, before we go, what are the plans ultimately? Because you obviously have, you know, the Fathom Events thing happening on March 20th and 21st. So people can go check that out. We'll have a link in the description. We're making sure this interview is out before that comes out, so people can make those plans. And then what about going forward? Then what kind of release happens after that?
Yeah, so we have a blackout period. So it's going to be the March 20th and 21st. Then we're all hoping and praying for some encores. So stay tuned for some possible announcements on that front. And then we have a 30-day blackout period after that. And then we're hitting the cable networks. And many of those, the larger scale cable networks, are going to require a 90-day exclusive. So we'll be in that community. While the whole time we're going to have a bunch of private church-based viewings that are going to be allowed. So we're going to get it out in the churches and do a bunch of private viewings and everything. And then after that, actually, this leads us back to the very start that with the Ralph and I hit. It's like, brother, this is truth, and it's going to be big, and we're going to blow it out free on YouTube. And that's the single distinguishing mark that Ralph and I have, that is just so unique. And yeah, I'm patting us both on the back here, but that's our goal, is that Ralph and I were both brought to faith in Genesis. We were both saved, but then I became a creationist afterwards by a bunch of free literature that changed my mind and free presentations. And so we want to do that. It's going to be out in over 20 languages worldwide, free on YouTube. So we're excited for that.
God is good, man. Thank you guys so much. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel and host Chad Davidson, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, visit us online at goodfight.org. Join our growing social media family and consider partnering with us at patreon.com/goodfight.